On an average off-year election day, the party of the president loses more than 30 seats in the House. Democrats are counting on at least that number and President Trump's relative unpopularity to help them retake the majority. Momentum had been building for what some pundits had labeled a blue wave, a sign that Democrats weren't just going to win a majority, but the party would dominate this fall. There are still indications that Democrats will do very well in November, but has anything put the level of success in doubt? With me to talk about that, as well as the potential impact of the Russia investigation, are Democratic strategist Kevin Walling and Bree Payton of The Federalist. Kevin, let me start with you. A lot of people have expressed concerns about President Trump's foreign policy, in particular how he handled his summit with Russian President Vladimir Putin, and we'll talk about that in a few minutes. But the economy has shown very strong signs lately. How much could a growing economy affect the chances of a blue wave? Could it hurt?
We saw the press conference coming out of the White House last week, and that's something to be celebrated, 4.1% growth. But I think there's still a bit of a disconnect from the economic indicators that we're seeing on the national level to seeing what people are having in their pocketbooks when they go home at the end of the night. Wages have actually gone down 1.8%. So the benefits of that tax cut haven't really been felt, I think, by Americans by and large across the country. And I think that's why you're seeing, you know, the president's numbers stay stagnant underwater in terms of his approval, and why you're seeing this enthusiasm still on the Democratic side heading into November. Now we're within 100 days of the midterm elections, and more we're seeing these tight races go towards the Democrats in terms of enthusiasm and in terms of ranking, in terms of the national level.
Something that I'm really curious to see from the Democratic Party is what they are going to become. Are they going to become increasingly liberal and take a hard left and, you know, pick up almost a socialist kind of mantle? Or are they going to remain the party of Nancy Pelosi and of the status quo? I think that that's an interesting question that remains to be seen from the Democratic side as well. And looking at the Republican side, I think it's become increasingly clear that the Republican Party is the party of Trump, and that each candidate that runs either positions themselves as someone who's going to hold Donald Trump's feet to the fire or be critical of the various things that he's done. It's very clear that Trump has been very rapidly shaping the party and is lending his support and lending even willing to go campaign for various candidates that will support his agenda. So I think that those two factors have been shaping both parties going into it. And I think whether or not the Republicans or Democrats hold the majority in the House and in Senate next year will be largely dependent on how well Donald Trump is personally perceived, because I think it's very clear that both parties are shaping themselves around him as an individual.
Yeah, Kevin, everything seems to be about President Trump. And even some Republicans who are a little bit nervous about him, in some cases, see him as a winning hand. As a Democrat, how do you see it?
You know, he has a winning message in many of those deep red districts. But I guarantee you in the 23 districts, 24 districts, rather, that Hillary Clinton carried that are now being occupied by Republican incumbent members, they want nothing to do probably with this president and with Mike Pence and the administration. They want to go it alone because I think he is so toxic in some of those districts. But the two key numbers that I look at are 33 and 55. On average, the president's party in a midterm election loses 33 seats. And last quarter, Democratic challengers outraised Republican incumbents in 55 of those key House races heading into November. So again, this president is, as Bree said, a very polarizing figure, and that enthusiasm is still mounting.
Now, Bree, we've talked a lot about the impact of the president, of course. I've got to ask another one as it relates to Russia. Is this an issue that conservatives would like to see go away? Are they uncomfortable with the president or his attorney, Rudy Giuliani, going after the special counsel, Robert Mueller, or do they feel that's good, he's putting up a fight? What do you make of conservatives? What do you think their point of view is? We've heard from some who have said that they were very concerned with how the president handled himself at the presser right after Helsinki.
I guess in regards to the president's remarks at Helsinki, I was disappointed in his performance there. It was a clear opportunity to stand up to Putin, and that's kind of his brand, is standing up to bullies and not holding back when it comes to that. And I think that that was a huge opportunity that he missed, and a lot of his supporters who were looking for him to be that way were definitely disappointed in that. And I think the presser afterwards trying to explain, oh, I meant to say wasn't, right? Switching that, oh, opposite day, just kidding. I don't think anyone really fell for that. I think we all understood what happened there, that he had the opportunity to hit Putin where it hurts, and he just decided to whiff on that for whatever reason. However, I will say this in regards to the Mueller probe, in regards to this larger Russia narrative implying that Donald Trump personally, or individuals orbiting Donald Trump on the campaign, personally worked with Russian officials in order to steal the election away from Hillary Clinton. I think that that narrative is false. And I think that it discredits the Mueller probe and it discredits all the work that the intelligence community has been trying to do to figure out exactly what happened last election and how we can shore up our own security to make sure that those kind of things don't happen again. I think it's very clear that there was Russian interference, although to what extent, I don't know. The intelligence community is still trying to puzzle that out and figure that out.
Kevin, considering how big an issue this is and how much the president keeps fighting about it and bringing it up, and the fact, as Bree pointed out, we don't have an outcome yet with Special Counsel Mueller's investigation. Is this ultimately a winning issue for Democrats, do you think, in the fall?
I think it's a winning issue for this country and Americans on a whole. You know, we've got to remember since May 2017 is when Bob Mueller was charged with this important task. He's brought indictments against 32 people. 26 of them are known Russian agents. And the service that, you know, Bob Mueller and his team are providing is such an invaluable service to this to the American people. You know, right before the president traveled to Helsinki for this conference, he laid out in incredible detail the extent to which the Russian GRU, their, you know, the now successor of the KGB, went about hacking, phishing, securing this information, targeting known American elected officials, operatives, party officials within, you know, Secretary Clinton's campaign within the DNC. That is fact. And, you know, I don't think innocent people act the way that this president does. I don't think innocent people act the way that Rudy Giuliani does.
Well, guys, let me close with this then. So we've talked about the blue wave a bit. We talked about that the last time the two of you joined me. So is the red wave more likely to mean that Republicans do well in the House or that Vladimir Putin comes here? What do you think? Is he actually going to come visit?
I hope he stays clear of these shores, and I hope this president doesn't go over there.
But what do you think the odds are on that, guys?
The president made this miscalculation already announcing this visit in the fall. And again, I think this, you know, Vladimir Putin, his favorite thing to do with not just this president, but any world leader is to make them look foolish. So, you know, this administration announced that the president of Russia was coming in the fall. They said, you know, we're not going to come and, you know, made our president wait for an hour in Helsinki just to show our president up. So I don't think this president will make the mistake of really encouraging Vladimir Putin to come. I do think the blue wave is real. We need to dig down, work really hard. We're within 100 days. I think that sense of excitement, that sense of motivation, that enthusiasm is really real on the Democratic side because there is such a disconnect with what this president is delivering on.
And Bree, you get the last word.
You know, I have been increasingly frustrated at how this president does like to cozy up to strongmen. I was really, really upset when he said that Kim Jong-un loves his people. And I was upset that he just gave President Putin a huge pass on the world stage. I was very frustrated at those two things. However, I think it is important to look at Donald Trump's track record. I think ultimately, at the end of the day, his legacy will either elevate him or it will damn him in the history books, ultimately. And when it comes to that, actions speak louder than words. I personally, you know, I think it will be interesting to see if Trump continues to push Putin on those issues and continues and eventually, ultimately, maybe gets results from that, or if he's just going to continue to fold. I think only time will tell, and I think that that's a question that we're going to have to leave to time and to history.
Bree Payton of The Federalist, also Democratic strategist Kevin Walling. Guys, great to catch up again. Thank you so much for the time.
Thank you.
Thanks, Steve.